Welcome to another Drew Darce podcast episode. On this episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about the culture around verbal taps and a little bit about tapping out in general. Going to kind of throw it to some early on stuff that a lot of people should probably know earlier, or it's one thing I certainly wish I had known earlier. I was on a podcast last week with my friend Matt Scaff. He has a podcast called The Grappling Discourse, and I mentioned that I like to verbal tap on basically any joint lock that's a twisting joint lock, especially if it's on the knee or the shoulder. One thing that I mentioned on there that I got some cool feedback on is I said that in the time it takes for you to reach to tap can be those extra couple of inches or even centimeters where an injury could happen. So as the years have gone on, and as I get older and continue to train and want to train for longevity, it's very important to me to just maximize my safety and reduce the unnecessary risk of getting hurt. So I've started verbal tapping on most submissions that aren't chokes. There are a few logistical things to keep in mind too. You know, mats are busy, mats are crowded, our sport is blowing up, our sport's getting big, more and more people are training, and if you're in a crowded room, you know, where music is likely playing, a lot of gyms play music when people roll. I've never trained long-term at a school that doesn't do this. If you just tap the floor, for example, man, I think that is a big risk to take. People might not hear you tap the floor, you know, and even if they could hear you, they may not have their ears tuned to that. You know, they're hyper-focused on getting that submission or performing whatever movement they're doing. If you suddenly need to tap and you tap the floor, nobody might hear that in time, you know? So if you watch like pro wrestling and you see people tap the mat, that's not the way to go. Tapping the other person's body at the very least is important. But even then, I see sometimes people don't feel it. If people have a big adrenaline dump, especially if you just tap once, sometimes in the gi, there's extra fabric there, there's extra material there. Tapping the other person's body is great, but I would advise doing it multiple times if you can. And I'm really all about the verbal taps these days. You know, if you can throw a verbal tap in there combined with the physical tap, I think that's best. There's some situations where I think a verbal tap alone is almost the only thing you can do, right? If you have really tight shoulders, for example, and you're in a bottom north south and you're about to get a kimura put on your shoulder, you know, when your hands come apart, by the time you reach and touch that person, that could be an extra couple centimeters that is all it takes for that injury to happen. So I've found that, you know, saying tap as you need to tap, especially if you can also tap the other person, is best. And I don't know, when I came up, there was a culture around verbal taps where it was sort of considered like a wussy thing to do. You know, I remember sometimes you'd hear people verbal tap and they would kind of get looks across the mat. And I've definitely verbal tapped before and gotten and had people sort of look over like, who is this guy? Like, does they really need to verbal tap? Like, oh my gosh. But yeah, sometimes you do. Especially with like the prevalence of heel hooks right now in our sport, with how common those are, and the IBJJF has now made those legal for brown and black belts, and more people are wanting to train those, and they're realizing that they aren't just these super dangerous moves that are going to injure you right away. However, at the same time, verbal tapping on heel hooks is great. You know, I think it's what feels safest for me. It's the quickest thing because, you know, again, there's hand fighting situations. 50-50 is a great example. If you're in a 50-50 position where your legs are mirrored with the other person and they're attacking a heel hook and you're reaching into hand fight, which is a great, it's a good defensive option for the 50-50 inside heel hook. It might not be the first thing that you want to do, but it is in the order of operations. It's not the worst thing you can do. In those cases, sometimes you want your hands dedicated to the inside of that person's bicep, you know, or their forearms or their wrist. And if you have two grips, a two-on-one grip on their arm while they're trying to inside heel hook you, and suddenly you start to feel that pressure coming on, because you can be heel hooked or you can heel hook somebody when they have defensive grips on your arm. So just because you have your hands on somebody's arm and you're defending well with your hands doesn't mean you can't have a heel hook finished on you. So sometimes in this case, this is a very specific example where letting go of your grips to tap can be the thing that causes you to get injured. I'm sure this match is on YouTube somewhere. If anybody wants to watch the first match between Keenan Cornelius and Gordon Ryan, it's a submission-only match. There's no time limit. I want to say the match goes about 90 minutes, give or take. Keenan ended up submitting in a heel hook attack where he had defensive grips on Gordon Ryan, and I believe he verbal tapped with his hands still in a defensive position on Gordon's body, so Gordon's arm. So I'll rewatch that and make sure, but it's still an interesting match to watch regardless, because I sort of got this take from Keenan. I remember Keenan put out a video at one point saying that, you know, if you have defensive grips on somebody during an inside heel hook, especially from 50-50, that being able to verbal tap was a really important skill. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to scream tap as loud as you can. You can just say tap, you know, and I would advise saying the word tap and not stop or, you know, okay, or, you know, all right, all right. You know, I've heard a surprising amount of people say things like those over the years as well. So, you know, I don't know. I think that I know this is very basic. I'm going to keep this episode super, super short, but I just wanted to throw this out there. I'll probably try to drop this on a Wednesday for like a White Belt Wednesday or something. But I think that a lot of schools allow people to come in for their first night on any in a mixed class. You know, so a lot of schools do have beginner classes and fundamentals classes. And a lot of schools even have these prerequisites where you have to do a certain amount of those before attending a mixed class. But for every one of those schools, there's another one that will allow somebody on their very first night to come in and take a class with every single belt on the mat. And in almost 20 years of training, I don't know if I've ever heard a mixed class when everybody goes to spar. I don't know if I've ever heard a real quick review on, hey, if this is your first night, this is how you tap out. And it sounds really silly, but this stuff is, you know, important to know. I mentioned the guy that got Kimura'd and got injured and didn't know. So I think that if you're an instructor or if you're a coach, it is probably a good idea to just quickly, just when people break to go spar for or go roll for a big group class, just say, hey, real quick, if it's your first night, just make sure if you ever feel too uncomfortable or you want anything that's happening to you to stop, just tap the other person's body and or say tap, and preferably both. It's a 10-second sentence, and it probably can help out more people than most people would realize or that most people would assume. So I think that's a really great thing. And just curious out there for anybody listening, do you all have a culture at your school where people verbal tap, or is it frowned upon to verbal tap? You know, not maybe not from the instructor, but within the student body, is it sort of looked at as kind of a weak thing to do, or is it something that's common? And by the way, I just realized I did not tell the story of the Kimura injury that I referenced earlier. So I will tell that real quick before I close this thing down. I was training a few years ago, and it was somebody's first class. They hadn't trained before. They had wrestled a little bit, but they hadn't done jiu-jitsu before. And they got put in a kimura, and it was a pretty gnarly kimura. They were in top half guard, and the kimura was from bottom half. That arm started getting wrenched up behind their back, and they started saying, ow, ow, and then they started yelling. And, you know, the person on bottom didn't mean to hurt them. I just don't think that they thought it was a tap, because we aren't used to letting go when that happens. And so, yeah, this person got hurt. You know, thankfully they didn't get anything fully torn and they didn't need surgery or anything. But this was a situation where clearly it would have really helped if they had known how to tap. And nobody's, I don't think really anybody is at fault in these situations. It's just not something I think most of us that have trained for more than a week take for granted that we all know how to tap. And it's just one of these things that's out of sight, out of mind. So just wanted to throw that in there as well. So yeah, I'd be curious anybody's thoughts on verbal tapping or the culture of verbal tapping around their school, if there is any. Wanted to keep this episode super short. And thanks so much for listening. Much love and appreciation to everybody. Hope everyone's having fun training, you know, staying safe, enjoying the end of summer as things, you know, start to cool off. And yeah, we'll keep this thing rolling. Thanks so much for everything, and I'll talk to everyone soon. Peace.